Ted, this is the final night of our series of meetings this time, and we're just appreciative of the fact that you're here with us for this service together, and we appreciate so much the many of you who have been here all week and have encouraged us as we have tried to encourage you. And it's been a very enjoyable week for Pam and I to be able to come and to be with you, to enjoy the meals that you have provided, to be able to meet those of you whom we established friendships with for the first time. And we're just encouraged and uplifted by the week that we have had together. And I trust that as we continue our course of going to heaven, that our paths will cross again, hopefully before too long, and that we'll get to encourage one another in most holy faith. We, Pam and I, are very thankful to have opportunities like this, but being able to come over here to Wise and being with you and many of you we've known for some time, And we can just aggravate you just like we're family. That means we're close when we pull jokes and carry on. But we're so appreciative of your diligent effort in spreading the truth this week. My efforts has been the best that I could, whatever part that may have played. But I trust that as we have come together, that God has been honored and glorified in our lives together. I also commend you to God in the word of His grace, that as we press on toward that of heaven, that those things we have studied, the songs we have sung this week, that will continue our diligent effort of learning of God, His Word, and making sure that we put it into practice in that of our lives. I tell you, there's so many of you that are just like family for us. It just makes us feel like that we're just sort of crossing the hill to another house, to another home, to another place to worship and to work. And the atmosphere here is good. I've been encouraged by the singing that we've had this week. Everybody was interested, and seems like, at least by my standards, that we have progressed in our singing together. And like I said, if ever I print the book again, the little book that I have, I'll see that I send a bunch of them over here, and you can have those to work on them on your own. And I encourage you to continue in your work in the Lord and spreading the gospel in this area. I know a gospel meeting is just part of that, and the series will end tonight, and we'll go back to our regular services on the Lord's Day. But let's not let up on preaching and teaching the Word of God and being an example and trying to get others to come and to be in our services and honor the Lord together. It's just been a thrill for us to be here, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have had this week to be in your midst. As I announced, I want to use the title tonight for our lesson tonight, I Died Last Night. There was a businessman, and I'll tell you where this came from. He was a very successful businessman. As a matter of fact, once a year, he would call all of those who were close to him, of his advisors, and he would have a meeting. And as he would call them together, he would introduce the meeting by saying, I died last night. Now, you tell me what's being said today about the business, about my financial endeavors, about my accomplishments. I want you all to conduct the meeting as if I really did pass away last night. And that way I can hear an honest evaluation of how you all feel toward me, the success or the failures of that of the business together, my ventures, how maybe I have invested and so on. I want to know how they do. And so you tell me, as if I passed away last night, you have this meeting and tell me honestly what you think. Well, I want to use that theme this evening to hopefully cause us to see our responsibility spiritually before God. We're not here to just be interested in the things of this world. You remember in the book of Luke, the rich ruler came to the Lord, and there the Lord was talking to him and gave him instructions. And you remember in Luke chapter 12 there, Jesus gave the instructions to this rich ruler. He said, tonight your soul will be requited. Now the things that you have amassed, the things that you have, the things that you have, afforded for yourself, who are they going to be now? What good are they? And that's the approach that I want us to look at this evening, as if the psalmist says in Psalms 90 and verse 12, to teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. I want to use this theme, however emotional it might be for you or me, that we passed away last night to cause us to think very serious and very soberly about our life right now. For a moment, think of Stephen when he was ready to die. When they were stoning him and he was ready to leave this life, he says, "Lay not this into their charge." Can you imagine an attitude of one who laid down in death, being stoned at the hand of those who were hostile toward him? How he can say, "Don't lay this into their charge. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." I want you to know right at the beginning of the lesson that I hope that is what happens if we pass away. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm your child. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I want to be yours. But sadly, some who may have died and may have passed away put money or honor or prestige or business or whatever above that and more important than the salvation of their souls. So let's use that theme for just a moment, and we're going to use just three or four points, and then we'll bring our lesson to a close. First thing, if you had died last night, the first question I want to raise was you a Christian? Now, I know it's important to have money or have things or have material possession, but the most important thing in your life is, are you a Christian? When it comes to death, the most important thing in life is, am I a Christian? Did I leave this world prepared to meet God? Did I leave this world having loved and appreciated the glad tidings of the gospel, Romans, the tenth chapter there? Did I leave this world having embraced the gospel of peace, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord? Did I leave this world having obeyed what God wanted me to obey and been submissive to every command that He set forth? Did I leave this world in a place where in a condition where I sought to do everything to please God? If He called on me to obey, I obeyed. If He called on me to repent, I repented. If He showed me that I needed to be baptized, I was baptized, and so on and so forth. We need to have the attitude as did the Lord when He says, I do all things to please Him. He done all things to please God. If we have left this earth last night, did we leave the earth having done things pleasing unto that of the Lord? Because we have pointed out in our lesson this week that Jesus says, except ye believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. To die in sins is an unpleasant thing because it brings about the condemnation of souls. It brings about an eternity that is in an everlasting place of torment, of discomfort, a place where in Revelation it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. It's a very unpleasant place, my friend. If you had died last night, would that have been your destiny? Would you have, for the reward and the things that you have done in life, would you receive punishment for your disobedience? Would you have received reward for that of your obedience unto that of Jesus Christ? In the book of 2 Thessalonians 1, there verses 7, 8, and 9, Paul talks about punishment and disobedience. He says that the Lord will return in flaming fire, on taking vengeance on them who know not the Lord, or knows not God, and obeys not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I don't read that passage to scare you. I don't read that passage so that you'll just shudder or that some way or other that you're going to be drunk on emotionalism. I want you to realize that punishment forever and torment is real for the disobedient. And there are folks who are leaving this world in rapid speed. There are folks who died last night who was unprepared to meet God. There are folks who died last night who were prepared to meet God. Let's turn our Bibles for just a moment to the book of Revelation chapter 14. You remember as John here is talking and again building confidence in these Christians who were under persecution and under fire, and many of them were being killed by the cause of their faith. And notice what, as we begin reading here, verses 12 and 13 of the 14th chapter. He says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the God and the faith of Jesus. And he says, I heard a voice. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. I read from those who were historians of this time that they died terrible deaths, that many of them were burned at the stake and their families had to watch. Many of their children were ripped from their arms and torn asunder. Many of their lives were taken because of their faith. And notice what this passage says. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. You know, we're not faced the aggression of that of Rome, and even though it may be cyclical in the sense that some want to compare it to Nazi Germany and this and so on and so forth, but I trust we're never faced with that type of persecution again. But if we are, and if we suffer for the cause of Christ, and if we lose our life for the cause of Christ, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. If you had passed away last night, could it be said of you, blessed was that person who died in the Lord? They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, friends, listen. I want you to listen. Some know this. Some know what to do in order to become a Christian. Some know what they need to believe and trust in God. Some realize they need to change. Some realize that they need to confess what they believe within their heart. Some know that they need to be baptized. But you know what my most popular excuse was when I was younger and didn't obey the gospel? Well, when I get older. You've heard that, haven't you? When I get older, I'll do this. You know, a lot of people died last night waiting to get older. There's people who will say, well, you know, I intend to, and I really plan on it. And you know, we may have died last night with good intentions. We may have planned on becoming a Christian. As a matter of fact, I can remember one time, me and my cousin, and we wanted to be baptized, and we planned it out to, on this certain service on a Sunday, that we would go forward and we would be baptized, and we had it in our minds that we would accomplish this, but then we come up with some sort of a lame excuse. And we did. You know, he and I both could have died unprepared to meet God. Remember, it's a sad thing to go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Had you died last night, would you have died as a faithful Christian? Would you have died as one who had a proven character, as did when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi? He says, but you know of the proof of him in Philippians 2 and in verse 22. Well, you know of the proof of him, or the New King James Version says, his proven character, that as a son with the Father, he says that he has served with me in the gospel. Now, if you back up just a few verses, he's talking about Timothy. He says, Timothy is one that, and I'm paraphrasing, I trust and I know that he'll genuinely care for your estate. But he says, he has a proven character. If we had died last night, would we have had that proven character of being faithful to the Lord, of being a faithful Christian? Could you have relied on me? Could you said that I was trustworthy? Could you said that I was dependable? Could you say that I was one who listened and that I learned about the Lord and that I grew in the Lord? Could you say about me, if I had passed away, that he used his abilities and his talents for that of the use of the Lord? Can you say of me, if I had passed away, that he is one who prayed fervently to the Lord? Can you say that he teached, he taught, he defended, he stood up for that which is truth, even when it wasn't popular? Can you say of me, if I had passed away, he is one who would abstain from the very appearance of evil because he knew one sin would keep him out of heaven? You see, if we had died last night, our destiny is sealed. It's over. A lot of folks have a good beginning. The night I was baptized in August of 1975, I came forward, me and my cousin, at the singing of the invitation. Two of us were baptized. Actually, he was baptized after the invitation. I was baptized, and then we had ended services, and he was baptized. We went and talked to his brother. At about 10 o'clock, he was baptized. And his another brother was working in the mines and did get home till 2 o'clock. And we waited up on him. We talked to him, and he was baptized. There was four of us baptized in one night. But the point that I want to make is, over time, there was three that was faithful. Then there was two that was faithful. You see, a good beginning is not enough. It was just a wonderful night for four of us to obey the gospel and God be glorified and the blood of Jesus Christ and being applied and the angels rejoicing in heaven. It's just a wonderful thing, but you know, a good beginning is not enough. We need to finish our course. Good intentions is not enough. We need to make sure that we take heed, that we stand, that we apply, that we make sure that as we set out in Colossians, the second chapter, that we continue to walk with the Lord. Had we died last night, could we have said, you know, I meant to be more faithful. If I'd lived just a little longer, I tell you what, I'd studied my Bible, I would have been a worker for the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to get around to it. Some folks die in that condition. And it's sad. Don't let that be you. If you had died last night, could you say, you know what, I talked to others about the gospel. I went around living a life of righteousness. I was like Psalms 1. I was like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I wanted to seek and save that which is lost. I could turn to Matthew 5 and read there of the being the light and shining it into the world and not hiding that light. And could it be said of us as Christians that we're this light, that we're the voice crying in the wilderness, that we're the light, we're the city that's set on the hill? If we passed away last night, can we say we used our example, we used our influence for the good of teaching the gospel? I don't think it's in their hymn book now, but there was a song that we used to sing called You Never Mention Him to Me. Maybe it is in the book now. It is? Okay. You know, that's one thing I fear. You ever heard somebody walk up to you and say, oh, you know me, you know me. You know, I don't like that game because I don't remember names well anyway. But I fear somebody in judgment, somebody will say, you never mention him to me. Somebody will say, Chris, why didn't you try to get me to do better? Why didn't you try to get me to obey the gospel? Why didn't you just sing one more verse of an invitation song? Why didn't you just read one more passage? You know, every time I end a lesson, I wonder if there's something else I could have said. Something else I should have said. Because if one lost soul goes out the door, they're taking a chance on passing away unprepared to meet God. If we passed away last night, did we make someone else's life easier? Or did we make somebody else's life more difficult? James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father exists, to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction or their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Did we make life easier from somebody else? Those who need visited, did we visit the neighbor who needed help? Did they get the help? Did we try to help those who were battered and torn and having difficulties of life? Maybe those who are suffering sickness, maybe those who are suffering difficulties and having family problems. Did we make the effort to do everything we could to try to get them to see the goodness of the Lord through us? You know, if we died last night, it's too late. It's too late. Or, had we died last night, could we have been busy gossiping? Talking behind others' back. Tale-bearing. Talking about things that we really don't know about, but we sort of add our 2 cents and make it sound good. Now remember, if we had died last night, we couldn't correct that. It's gone. Our soul is gone. If we had died last night, what kind of influence do we leave behind? What is it that we leave for others to see? Let me ask you something. Most of us get us in the foyer out here. And if you're like we are over at Mac Roberts, the talk is, you know, what's going on in the community and how everybody's doing. Somebody passes away, it's just like the word spreads like, you know, through the whole congregation. Everybody, well, yeah, did you know them? Did you know them? Did you know them? If you had died last night, what would be the foyer talk about you? You know what? Their name is good. You know what? If the doors were open, they were there. You know what? If something needed to be done, you could count on them. Well, you know what? If it doesn't matter what the occasion was, if they felt something needed to be done, they went ahead and done it anyway. They didn't wait on ER. They didn't wait on anybody else. They just went ahead and done it themselves. You know, influence is something we have over everybody. That we have over everybody. And we need to make sure that our influence is something that, whether we read Proverbs 22, whether we read Proverbs chapter 10, which says in chapter 22 and verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now let me take that just one step further. The four-year talk could have been, you know what, that person really was liked in the community. And that's good. The next step is, that person was faithful in the church. That person was a Christian. You know, their influence in the church is going to be something that's going to be missed. It's not that all of a sudden there's an empty pew over here. Who used to, you know what, I can remember. No, well, maybe somebody did sit over there. Our influence in the church is going to be missed. Is that the kind of influence that we leave behind? Is that the kind of name that we have? You know, as a Christian, we need to seek to do the Father's will. Always. Always. To seek the Father's will. Now, in January of this year, the fellow that was on the front porch on August the 10th of 1975, who says, Chris, you're too good of a person to be lost. The fellow who took interest in me, taught me the truth, and assisted in my baptism, he passed away this January. Dear friend of mine. But we had a comforting thought that he and I shared together. There was some words to some song or poem or whatever. Many times we would talk about this, and one line in the song was that we would hear the wisp of angels' wings. Many times. Many times we've talked about it and got to the point that we couldn't talk about it. He knew what I was talking about, and I knew what he was talking about. Had you died last night, would the angels have come for you? Now think about this. We sing the song, Home on the Banks of the River. Second verse says, soon the angels will come and carry me over. We read of the rich man, and we read that of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And when the Lazarus died, it says he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. What a wonderful thought that is. You know, we sorrow. We weep. And we mourn for the lost. But had you died last night, would the wisp of angels' wings carried you to Abraham's bosom? Isn't that a very wonderful thought? Isn't that something that is a blessing? You see, I want you to think about yourself when it comes to that of your final possession, and that's your soul. I want you to think about yourself as you seek the comfort from your soul, apart from the things of this world. I want you to have confidence in the Lord and trust in the Lord that if we would have died last night, that the angels would have come for us. In the book of John chapter 11, you remember there, this is when Lazarus had died and Jesus had come to the tomb and he calls Lazarus and he comes forth. But some of the conversation that I want you to see there is Martha says, Well, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says he'll rise again. And Jesus responds in verse 24 by saying, she responds, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus says something to her. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If we had died last night, could our friends, could our families, could our brothers and sisters in Christ had taken confidence in the fact that we serve the Lord, we worship the Lord, we follow that of Jesus Christ, and we can have this trust as Jesus says. We're trusting in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, though we may be dead, we'll live again. You know, the pleasantries of this thought, of these verses are sometimes overlooked because with great confidence, with great confidence. I have visited folks, and maybe you have too, near the end of their life, and their body is so racked with pain, and they're so uncomfortable, and the discomfort is just off the scale, and they're struggling to live, and just the thread of life seems to snap at any time. Now, none of us likes to see anybody like that. But I knew a guy one time, was very, very sick. But his confidence in the Lord was, I know whom I have believed. If we had died last night by some disease, some whatever that may afflict the body, could it be that with confidence we could have said, I know who I believe. I know who is the resurrection. I know who is the life. And I put my trust and my confidence in Him. Could it be said of us that we believe and that we will practice that and that we'll follow that? And then finally, my friends, if I died last night, would I believe behind those that I influenced to become a Christian? You know, I don't want people to say, you know, that Chris was a pretty good fella. I don't want folks to say, you know, Chris, he done this or he done that or, you know, this was his. I don't want any folks to say, if I were the President of the United States, Chris is the President of the United States. All I want to know and all I want people, with all I'd like for people to say and know about me is, Chris was a Christian. He was a child of God. And when my family, when my folks, when my brothers and sisters in Christ gather for whatever closing service they might be, they know that I'm absent from the body, but I'm present with the Lord. They know because of my faith that I have put Him first in my life. Had I died last night, they would have mourned, maybe because of the physical ties that were broken, but the comfort that is there spiritually. There's nothing like giving up your parents. Nothing like giving up a child, and I haven't had to do that. Both my parents were Christians. It's a terrible ordeal to go through. To know they're God's children helps. You see, if we had died last night, what would others have said? What would others have said? Are you satisfied with your life right now? Are you satisfied as you're living right now? Perhaps. And we don't wish this on anybody, and I hope we all live a long life to a ripe old age, but we don't know. But would we be like the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell? You see, Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. The angels came and carried him away. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He wanted something. Actually, he wanted two things. He says, just a drop of water to cool my tongue. The secondly was, go back and tell my brothers not to come here. You see, you have opportunity tonight to become a Christian. You have opportunity tonight to obey the gospel. My friends, let me tell you, I hope this has excited within you a faith and a trust in God, because He's the only one who can, when we leave this life, we drop the hands of our loved ones, and we can pick up the hand of the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, you're with me. And I can tell you right now, Satan won't do it. But the Lord can take us by the hand. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be a Christian. Now, I don't want you to be so emotional that you respond out of emotionalism. I want you to realize that you're here for a purpose, and that's to serve God. And that death is uncertain. So we have the time right now to prepare. Can we assist you? Can we encourage you this evening? Can we encourage you to be a child of God? If you need to be baptized, everything is ready here. Someone will assist you in completing your obedience. If you failed in your trying, think soberly about your life. We don't know how many opportunities we'll have left. We don't know how many more meetings we're going to have left. I hope we have many more. But we just don't know. If we can help you tonight to become a Christian or to make your life right, let us do that as together we stand and while we sing.